again for Saturday and Sunday. So just keep it in mind and be very careful. Your news time, just about 12:30. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. We're pleased to welcome Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College, to visit with us here today. Dr. Neupower, good to see you.
Hi, David. Thanks for having us.
Also with us is Jess Matnuck. She's the executive director of communications and marketing. Jess, good to see you as well.
You too, Dave.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Well, spring semester is underway, I think, right? BC3 has started already, right?
Yep. We had our welcome day at all of our locations last week, and mm-hmm. then classes started on Monday of this week.
So you're a week earlier than the state schools, the PASCHE schools. I don't think they start the spring semester till next week.
Correct, although the Pitts and the Penn States have been in at least a couple of weeks. They start very early, so mm-hmm. we are a week ahead of PASCHE. A week plus behind the Penn States and the Pitts.
Yeah, they do, because they graduate very early.
Yes, end of April.
These days, yeah. Well, yesterday we had a 10 a.m. start for all sites of BC3. Maybe we can talk a little bit about how that happens, because obviously, generally speaking, you tend to go pretty much on time if you can at all costs, whereas yes. public schools will oftentimes delay more often than BC3. How's that decision made? Everybody realizes it was really, really icy yesterday morning.
Although I will say, this being my 13th year as president, and our executive director of operations, Brian Opitz, would say the same, I think as time has gone on, our approach for delays especially has changed a bit. Let's talk about yesterday, then we'll talk about the larger decision making. And of course, of all the schooling, undergrad, graduate, what have you, there's still not a class about when to delay or close a college. Mm-hmm. And I say that because no matter what decision is made, there are certainly people who are for or against the decision. But we take safety incredibly seriously. We're unique because it's not just one location. If you think the diversity of our locations and the weather patterns from Sharon to Newcastle to Brockway to Ford City to Cranberry to our main campus, that's a variable as well. Yesterday, as we were talking off air here, that hit very late. Very late in the morning in terms of our decision making. You and I mentioned we woke up at 4 o'clock, we're watching TV at our homes, and things seem to be on for a normal winter morning, even at 4:30, and then at about 10 of 5 is when Ron Smiley on KDK said that there was something from the National Weather Service that talked about ice, and then I heard the same thing you did, that there were accidents in Beaver County.
I can tell you exactly when that National Weather Service alert came in. It was 4:45.
Okay, yeah.
Because I printed it out when I got here, which was shortly after 5 o'clock. And by that time, conditions were suddenly just, it was like a skating rink out there.
Yes.
You know, streets, roads, parking lots, sidewalks, everything. It was really bad.
Now, the reason I say that that's late, our normal, we're an 8 o'clock start on our campuses.
Mm-hmm.
But our nursing students who go out on clinicals are leaving 5:30 or 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a key variable in our decision making, and we want to make the decision as quickly as possible so that we don't get those students out on the road. Something that's changed over the years, that if we know that there's poor weather after examining all the sites, a new model is that we'll call the delay the night before, and then that gives us the time to make the decision in the morning and to keep those nursing students off the road, let alone the college faculty and staff. It was at about 20 after 5 where our executive director, Brian Opitz, and I talked, and we're keeping an eye on what other schools are doing, and I think Butler was the first. Butler was very early. And then as we're talking, we're seeing others make their decision. So we go ahead and we make the call. Brian's responsibility is to talk to our interim director of information technology to craft a text message that is really the first communication that goes out. And the beauty of the text message is it's not only date stamped, but it's stamped with the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important so people can know how quickly we get the message out. I then immediately call Jessica. And Jessica, the traditional model of reaching out to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of the first calls that you make would be the radio station.
Yeah, and the radio station, one of the things with our BC3 alerts, those text messages that Nick just mentioned, that same message automatically goes out on our social media, on Twitter, on Facebook. And I know that the radio station's very active on social media. Mm-hmm. They always pick up that tweet and retweet it right away, and I know it's on the radar for the collection of places that have been closing or delaying. So.
Yeah, we had it pretty early. And, you know, yesterday, in hindsight, you say, oh, it was a good thing that most of, I don't know of any public schools in the area that did go on time yesterday. I don't know how they could have early buses going out, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning.
Well, there was an interesting variable yesterday morning. And that was that our vendor who provides the emergency texting, as our IT director was putting in the message, it was not sending out.
Uh-huh.
That's a significant variable. Mm-hmm. A lesson learned from Virginia Tech, a different type of crisis, was that the best way to communicate with students, faculty, and staff in terms of a crisis is through texting. That was a big lesson learned. It's not the old days when we'd listen to KDK or the Butler radio station for Larry Berg or Jack Bogut to announce your school mm-hmm. being closed. Pretty much everybody has a cell phone, and we really rely on it, and it's the first step, and then we go to Jessica's model of reaching out to the media outlets. We later found out that it was not a problem on our end, it was a problem with our vendor. That caused significant concern. And now we're talking at about a quarter of six, I think, about a quarter of six. Jessica continues to reach out to the media. We end up going through our email system and sending a message to our faculty and staff, letting them know at about 6:04 that we're having problems with the emergency texting. Please realize that we're on a delay here. And we were just about ready to go forward with an email to the students whenever the various attempts that we had with our vendor for emergency texting, about five different texts, ended up coming through at about 6:15. Okay. The reason that was a concern is that we are driving people to the emergency texting.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, it is an opt-in service. So it's not a requirement. It doesn't go to everyone, but it's an opt-in, and Jessica really pushes that message out. Frankly, it happened early enough at 6:15 that we pretty much caught everybody. Our nursing students were already at the hospitals for the clinicals, so the decision was made by our vice president for academic affairs and dean of nursing to keep the students there rather than get them on the road. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, it's all about being proactive. We practice, we have prescribed messages, but frankly, all these years you learn different variables come up. Yesterday was a new one for us. And again, so we're looking at the storm this weekend. This is, what, 2 or 3 days ahead of time. Our director of operations, Brian Opitz, looked at the schedule. We have a major public safety event coming in. Mm-hmm. He reached out to our off-campus directors, what's going on in your locations. I believe that we've already pulled the trigger and canceled our sporting events on that evening. He's already working with his staff to get the campus up and running and even coming in on the Martin Luther King holiday. There's a lot that goes in into it. There are a lot of new variables that come into play, but I think it's part of our proactive approach to communication and crisis planning that we do such a good job.
Well, good to look ahead, because most weather folks are just saying significant this Saturday and Sunday. They're not talking about actual inches yet, but it has the potential at least to be a pretty big storm. Certainly the biggest one we've seen.
Remember, we got nailed with that ice storm, and oh my goodness, that was probably one of the most unique weather-related experiences that we had. That mm-hmm. was a delay. We called Thursday. We were one of the first to call. We closed the campus Thursday night. We closed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our staff came in. We had trees down. Interestingly, what we learned there was a performance in the theater, and our emergency texting and our emailing and what Jess puts on social media went to all of our appropriate stakeholders. Those who had tickets for the theater weren't necessarily covered, because why would they look? Mm-hmm. So when the decision was made to move the performance from Friday, the heart of the storm, to Sunday night, most folks thought that the storm had passed Sunday night. We were without power for 3 or 4 days. And while Brian and his staff and our police and others were cleaning up the campus, in comes the crowd for the theater. And we did a great job on the spot of letting folks know about the situation. They were very understandable. But again, as we progress here, year 13 of my presidency, there's new variables and situations that come up that we learn from.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can forget the power outage of just before Thanksgiving. Seems like a long time ago now, but that was something to remember. Wow. Hey, you were on PCN. What was this past weekend? You were on Sunday on Pennsylvania Cable Network statewide?
Yes.
What was that all about?
Well, I'd hoped there would be a conflict with the Steeler playoff game. And as a matter of fact, you know, prime airtime. I think the next viewing is on Super Bowl Sunday during the game. So maybe some Pittsburghers might tune in, but it was an opportunity to work with a colleague from Harrisburg Area Community College. And this Inside Burroughs, the Burroughs Association has a show on PCN, Inside Burroughs, on the PCN network, to talk about the great role of community colleges in our Commonwealth, specifically with economic and workforce development. Mm. And it was a tremendous opportunity to talk about our town and gown relationship, our work with the county commissioners and the Unified Economic Development Plan. There'll be a public launching of that in the coming months. How we are making an impact with the opiate initiative, and then some of the traditional things that we talk about, our affordability, our excellence, our quality, and the fact that we're a regional institution. It's being pushed out via social media.
Yeah, it's on all of our social media pages. It's on our website. We've embedded it on the president's page of the website. And it is going to broadcast again. I have those dates and times. 6:30 a.m. this Sunday, 2 p.m. on January 27th. And 6:30 p.m. on February 3rd.
Super Bowl Sunday.
So if you miss any of those times, though, you can always go online, bc3.edu, and watch it.
Did you have to go somewhere to do this?
Yeah, I went to Camp Hill, Harrisburg area.
That's where PCN's headquartered, I believe. Yeah.
So I think you would appreciate this, and Jess knows this, and I'm not quite sure that that most folks know what strategic public relations or strategic communication is all about. And I think that we really live that, and this radio show is a great example. And if you have a message and you utilize one of the eight mass media, although the lines are blurred now because the eight mass media are pretty much all in the palm of your hand, the media has a way to amplify the message, amplify in either a positive or a negative way. And there are a lot of mass media models dating back to Marshall McLuhan, NYU, in the late 60s.
Medium is the message.
Is the message. That's exactly right.
Canadian Marshall McLuhan. I studied him. Yes. I know.
And I would think that when you were an undergrad at Penn State, that was when McLuhan was in his heyday.
True, yeah.
And I actually taught an entire class at Marist College in which we explored the medium is the message. And there are a lot of different ways I can take that, but I believe in the power of the medium, and it's been part of our strategy, not the off-the-cuff writing of press releases and sending you all 30 press releases, but if you have the strategic message, you tie back to the strategic plan, and you utilize the media. In this case, we had an opportunity through cable TV to push that message out, is that it amplifies in a positive way. And frankly, I've received lots of anecdotal feedback from people just seeing them on campus that said, hey, watched you, great message about BC3 and community colleges. So it all fits into this larger strategy.
Yeah, I was surprised. PCN called me several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, I'm not sure. And they said they were going around and they wanted to air select talk shows on the network. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to do it? And I said, that's fine. Now, we were not in this building yet. We were still over on in the Pullman Center complex. Yeah. And we didn't have a real big studio there. And they, by the time they got their camera crew in there and a camera guy and a sound man, it was like we were like sardines in there. But I was surprised because the feedback that I got was the same as you. You know, I mean, well, it's seen all over the state, so it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that is absolutely fantastic. So they had radio shows from all across.
Yes, they went to smaller and medium markets just to show what was happening.
Yeah,
you know, how many they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, all told.
To this day, with my various travels, with my blue transistor radio with a broken antenna, is that when I walk or even getting ready in the morning, there is that connection with AM radio that I just absolutely love it. It gives you a flavor of that local culture, the personalities, the content. And you know, and the listeners know that when I come into the college early in the morning, I tune you in. And even the music that you play just brings me to another time. And I love that closeness and the association with AM radio stations and how it reflects that particular area's culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to hear that the PCN bought into that.
Yeah. Yeah, radio, I'll get off the subject. I don't mean to beat a dead
Please.
Horse, but radio I've always considered the most intimate
yes.
of the mass media, simply because it requires people to use their imagination. You know, they can't see us. They can only hear us.
Yeah.
So they have to use their imagination. You can also listen to the radio while you're doing something else.
Exactly.
You know, in fact, almost all people are doing something else.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to go back to the 1930s and 40s where people sat in the living room and looked at the radio while they were while they were listening to it. You know.
And that connection to baseball is just growing up and going to my grandparents' house and the Gunner and Nellie King. And I'd be exaggerating if I said that as you walk down the sidewalk, you would hear the broadcast no matter where you walk, but that's not much of a stretch. My grandparents would listen on their porch to that radio station, and to this day, particularly in the summer on a nice evening, I just love listening to baseball because it is that imagination. And well, with Steve Blass retiring, this is coming up a lot. Marty Brenneman from Cincinnati announced his retirement after mm-hmm. this year. And the announcer has the ability for the storytelling. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, back to Butler County Community College updates. President Neupower on PCN, the Pennsylvania Cable Network, And that will be repeated a few times over the next week or so. You also attended the Council of Presidents meeting in Harrisburg. That's Council of all the presidents of the 14 community colleges.
Yes.
Is there still 14 community colleges?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yes. So to refresh the listeners on this, there are 32 public institutions in the Commonwealth. Four state-related, Penn State, Pitt, Temple, and Lincoln, which is an historically black college university. There are 14 state universities. And yesterday, the new PASHE state system chancellor was inaugurated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that came across your desk.
Daniel Greenstein, I think. I don't have his name in front of me, but
yes.
Yes, I'm familiar with him. Yeah.
He came from the Gates Foundation. And the other 14 are the 14 community colleges. And we're not part of a system. We are a sector. We are locally governed by either counties, cities, in some cases school districts. And we come together as the Pennsylvania Commission for Community Colleges, and we meet a minimum of four times a year. We had a great meeting in the Harrisburg area, I guess it would be a week and a half ago. All 14 presidents were there. We talk about our larger strategies. We learn from one another what's going on in their respective institutions. And we had a great opportunity to meet with the Secretary of Education, Secretary Rivera. Mm-hmm. And Secretary Rivera was able to talk about the model moving forward with the Wolf administration that involves education, and not surprisingly, it ties to workforce development and partnerships. And that's a great opportunity for the colleges in the room and for me personally with the Butler hat on to talk about our great workforce development initiatives and fantastic partnerships. And in a sidebar conversation that I had with the secretary and the deputy secretary, he and the department is very aware of what Butler's doing, not only in Butler, but particularly with our expansion efforts and going into these underserved areas such as Brockway, Ford City, Hermitage, and Newcastle. So time very well spent, about 2 days that we were out there.
Mm-hmm. The Daniel Greenstein, that is the name, I remembered it correctly, I wasn't quite sure, spoke yesterday, had his inauguration ceremonies, and he addressed that issue of declining enrollment at the state schools and suggested that they should share their resources instead of competing with one another. Interesting.
Yes. So what we really emphasize is falling back on the local collaboration and agreements that we have, more at the micro level than the macro level. Mm-hmm. The macro level, system to sector, there are so many variables, so many personalities, differences of opinion on the eastern side of the state than the western side of the state. And I mentioned it before, we're fortunate in Butler County to have BC3 and Slippery Rock, all within Butler County. We do a great job of local partnerships and collaboration. And we had a signing before Christmas break with President Barry and other officials from both institutions about articulation agreements. Our nursing program has a 3+1 agreement now with Slippery Rock University. We think that works best, and while we're certainly all in favor of partnering, we like the autonomy of the local partnerships as opposed to something that would be top down at the macro level.
3+1, is that 3 years BC3 and one at Slippery Rock, or what, you know what that means?
Yeah.
I mean, those are, I know that it's traditionally the 2+2, mm-hmm. but whenever you factor in like the 3+1, there's additional benefits to students that way.
Lower cost, for one thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you get the associates, you stick around the college for an extra year, BC3 that is, at our tuition and our quality, and then you would transfer to the senior institution for 1 year. Not only do we have those agreements with the institutions at their own place, but we also have the partners who come into our campus and take the 3+1. I just ran into a gentleman who's in the 3+1 communication program that we have, and that is with Chatham, where it's the 2-year associates from us, the one extra year at BC3, and then Chatham comes in to offer the classes.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Dr. Nick Neupower from Butler County Community College right after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs. Instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back on the It's Your Turn program on a Thursday. We're talking with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, visiting with us here today. Something I need to ask you about because I'm not quite sure that I understand what the salary to cost ratio is all about. I understand you have some good numbers there, yeah. But I don't know what it means.
This is the second year, actually. So the U.S. Department of Education puts together data in what they call the college scorecard, and then the Pittsburgh Business Times kind of brings it to for regional perspective on it, looking at 43 regional private and public institutions, and kind of comparing those using that data from the scorecard. And once again, BC3 has the highest salary-to-cost ratio out of all 43 institutions.
So institutions, Western PA, Penn State's included, Youngstown State's included, and West Virginia University. So analyzes tuition, and again, of those 43 institutions, BC3 has the most affordable tuition. I'm very proud of that. And taking a look at what it costs students to earn a degree, and what their average starting wage is. And when you factor in that 75% or so of our students graduate debt-free, mm-hmm. and our tuition is so affordable, and then you factor in what the average wage is for our students who go on to jobs, it is the best return on investment.
Mm. 75% of BC3 students graduate debt-free. That's an amazing statistic,
yes.
Especially we read all these stories today about, you know, young adults graduating from college with these massive debts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in Pennsylvania, where the highest student loan debt in the nation.
Mm. Yeah, about that, I think it's creeping up toward about 40,000.
It is, 36.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of that, not loans, but grants, Pell Grants, that's a federal program.
Yes.
And I understand there's a little bit of concern about what may happen to that if we don't get out of the partial government shutdown soon, or...
Yes, and I believe that we have about $8 million in Pell Grants that we receive for our students, and that's based on need. And we have about 80% of the students who attend BC3 receive some kind of aid. And these students are signed up and registered for classes, taking classes. We have some late start classes, so this is very important to them. And, of course, right now the federal government is a bit of a standstill in terms of workers, including not only IRS but the Pell Grants. And our students are okay. Basically, where the college would run into some kind of a problem would be if this would extend beyond graduation or final exams. Now, the college needs to have resources to cover for these students, mm-hmm. which goes back to the excellent job that we do in running the institution. We talk about the significance of having a fund balance that's the equivalent of a savings account that we have in our homes. So when we have trees that go through buildings, when we have an ice storm, and we have to bring individuals on campus to help with the trees that are fallen, we have a situation where we're not giving the money at the appropriate time from the federal Department of Education, how is it that you keep the college running when you don't have that revenue coming in?
Yeah.
So it would be a way where we could bridge the gap, and then on the back end, the Pell money would come to the college.
I was trying to remember, I had FHEA grant, Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Correct. Agency grant. I don't know whether that organization still exists
still
or
around.
Not. But I couldn't remember whether that grant money came to me and then I forwarded it to the school or whether it came direct. I think it went directly to the school.
I think you're...
I couldn't remember for sure.
Yeah, I think that you are correct along those lines.
So the Pell Grant money, this is federal, not state now.
That's correct.
It would come directly to the school, and if you don't get it, then obviously you're not getting the... revenue from tuition that you were expecting, that you budgeted for.
Absolutely. And from a student perspective, there are a variety of ways related to your cost of attendance that that money can be used. It could be used for books. I think in some cases travel, perhaps helping with child care. Mm-hmm. It could be used for food and a dinner package that you might have. So it's incredibly important to the institution. And while we've talked about the three legs of the stool to fund the community colleges, the state, local government, and the tuition, frankly, the fourth leg that is incredibly important to all of us would be the Pell Grant.
Is there any other way that the Butler County Community College is being affected by the partial government shutdown, or anything that you see in the future that might be a problem if this shutdown continues, other than what we just discussed, the Pell Grant?
Yeah, perhaps GI benefits.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah,
yes.
I think can come into play.
You have quite a few veterans who are enrolled at BC3.
I think well over 200, and we're a military-friendly school for
six years in a row.
So that's mm-hmm. a very important population to us. And we're talking about the state. You recall, well, I think it was the beginning of the Wolf administration. I believe that we went a year and a half without that state allocation. And that got to a point where it was incredibly serious. And we even went forward and working with a bank for a loan. Mm-hmm. It actually hurt the community colleges, and I'm not sure about the universities, although I would assume our credit rating also because of that stalemate. So while we're able to bridge a gap, we're only 4 days into the semester. The longer this goes on, the more serious it gets.
One of the programs that's available through Butler County Community College are courses for firefighters. And you had 80-some volunteer firefighters, Jess, who recently took a first responder course there.
Right, and these are volunteer firefighters who took the course tuition free, so they didn't pay for tuition or fees. They were covered by a gift from the Cranberry Township Community Chest. It's part of the initiative to grow the number of volunteer firefighters that we have in the area.
Do you, at that facility on the Edge of Campus, do you train firefighters from other regions as well?
Yes.
It's not just Butler County, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, boy. I believe it's about 23 to 25 counties.
Yep.
And while I think the bulk of the 14 community colleges work with public safety, EMS, firefighting, really the three leaders, and you think of this geographically, would be Butler, northwestern side of the state, Harrisburg, somewhat the central part of the state, and Bucks, which would be closer to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. so the southeast. Talk about the state, the funding model for helping with the state reimbursement for firefighting and public safety really has changed a great deal. I don't know if you would recall this, but when under the Obama administration, there was the federal stimulus money, and the way that Governor Rendell used that stimulus money was to backfill a gap from the state budget mm-hmm. for funding the community colleges. And we used to have a full-time equivalent model where we would be given a reimbursement from the state for enrollment in credit and non-credit classes like public safety. After the stimulus, the money's been coming through basically a flat allocation. It isn't contingent based on enrollment. So we're not getting funded nearly at the level, not even close to the level in which we were, but we understand this is an important part of our mission. So when you have a group like the CTCC, the Cranberry Township Community Chest, helping with this, it's of great benefit not only for the community, for these firefighters, but also helps the college in terms of funding of the program.
That whole thing seems to be in a state of flux because statewide, nationwide actually, but particularly in Pennsylvania, we don't have nearly as many volunteer firefighters as we used to.
Correct.
A number of reasons for that. Work schedules, among other things, the training that's necessary. And many municipalities are now exploring ways that they can financially help volunteer firefighters. Butler Township is the most recent mm-hmm. one. They now offer a reduction in their property taxes for volunteer firefighters, which I think is a good idea. Mm-hmm. I can remember several years ago, I don't know if it was a local state lawmaker, somebody floated the idea of tuition help, state help mm-hmm. to pay tuition for children of volunteer firefighters.
Yes.
To try to make it an enticement to stay on the job, which I thought was a great idea.
Well, two quick points there. One is there's a state resolution, and Chris Sonato from the Newcastle area is a key player in this, that is looking for ways of increasing involvement with volunteer firefighters and a way to use the community colleges in that regard. So that's a plus. But Dave, we talked about enrollment earlier. Enrollment, lack thereof, population is not just impacting the colleges or the universities. It's the service clubs. It is the different types of industries, the manufacturing industry. It is volunteering. It's firefighting. I'm a Gen Xer. I'll be 52 this year. So baby boomers, a lot of them are retired. We're now to the next generation where Gen Xers are retiring. And if you look at the population and the population graduates from high school and then college, there's just not the mass of the end size that there used to be. And it's impacting organizations like this. So anything about partnering or creativity and utilizing these existing organizations or entities to come together to address these shortages is a necessity.
It's also impacting college enrollments across the state. Tremendous impact, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at all levels, whether it's community college or four-year schools.
And just to add to what you were saying, it's not just that this fund covers the tuition for those classes that are needed to be a volunteer firefighter, that they would need to take in terms of fire training and first responder type training, mm-hmm. but another part of it is a scholarship for full or part-time credit students, no matter what program they're enrolled in. If they're an active Butler County firefighter, they receive a scholarship just to help them with their education in general, not just related to fire. So,
where's this scholarship come from, Jess?
That is also from the Cranberry Township Community Chest, yes.
Yeah, and Cranberry Township, from Jerry Andre to John Scorpion, fellow Penn Stater, Bruce Mazzoni, who's on our board, very forward-thinking, and in working with the CTCC, have expanded this scholarship opportunity for students, exactly as Jess said. You don't even have to major in fire sciences. Mm-hmm. As long as you major in whatever and your give back is to the volunteer firefighter community, it is a win-win.
Are the instructors at the public safety building, are they on the payroll of BC3, or is that something that's independent?
Oh, yeah, they would be. So mm-hmm. we would run it through our workforce development, public safety side of the house. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be in a tenured full-time faculty line like on the academic, but we bring in folks from across the state for their expertise, and yes, they're on the BC3 payroll.
We have a Hope Night coming up, Jess. A Hope Night.
Yes. This is related to our community initiative to address opioid addiction. This is the second one, and there's going to be another one next month as well. But the theme for this one is laughter and fun. And it's going to be on Monday, January 28th. It's at the Butler Arts Center.
It's a week from this coming Monday, so that's coming up pretty quickly. Yeah.
Correct. So those students who completed the Hope is Dope, Reset Your Brain series, or the any other of the classes we offered, there was another one called New Eyes. Mm-hmm. They are invited to attend this event, as well as anyone from the community. It's a free and public event.
Shelley Duffy is going to be the host. She's a media personality for some years, and I happen to know also she is an alumna of Butler County Community College, right?
Yes, she is. This is a matter of fact.
Yeah. And as I said, the theme is laughter and fun, so I'm sure Shelley will contribute to that. And there's also going to be some music there as well. Washboard Tony is going to perform. So
great.
Sounds like
I am so proud of our efforts in this initiative. It's been a year and a half where we've helped a number of community organizations in the county as a whole with the opiate issue. Mm-hmm. And Tracy Hack, our point person, leader, coordinator of community initiatives, our partnership with ANR and CCR, we're really making a dent here. It came to our attention yesterday that the amount of opiate deaths in Butler County has almost been halved.
From last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the question that was presented to me was, what role does the college have in that? And I think it's all – that speaks to the power of partnership and collaboration. It's not one in particular, but when we all come together and address a problem – I do believe that it is significantly correlated to this decline. I'm so proud, and I think it's the best example of what it means to be the community's college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the drop in the number of fatalities is staggering, wonderfully staggering,
yes.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Been a lot of education efforts about this. Hopefully we can keep knocking it down a little bit. Do you have to register to come to that on the 28th, do you know, Jess? Or is that?
You don't have to RSVP in advance, no. But there is some information on our website if anyone's seeking further details about that event.
There's also an upcoming lunch and learn session dealing with grief.
There is, and that is also another connection to our Town and Gown initiative from our strategic plan. This is going to be the second of the Lunch and Learn series. It should be the third, but we had to cancel that second one because of the ice storm that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. So that one's going to be rescheduled, but this one is going to be held at Connect Work, which is on Main Street. And it's a 90-minute session on for local businesses and employers to send their employees to learn about grief in the workplace and how to better deal with that. And then also about some of our offerings and trainings that we have through workforce development, like grief is in the grief in the workplace, that can be a benefit to their business.
And the last two items, notice where these classes are taking place. In downtown Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess couldn't have said it any better. It's part of our larger Town and Gown strategy and the strength of the of that as part of our strategic plan. It is about utilizing existing locations on Main Street to bring a crowd, perhaps people that wouldn't have a reason to go to Main Street, to get that vibrancy back. You recall that we are now located in downtown Butler. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of this larger strategy, not to mention from a content curriculum perspective, you can't beat what Shelley will be bringing, the fact that it's addressing the opioid addiction, as well as this Lunch and Learn. And again, I'm just so proud as to where we are right now with that whole town and gown.
Yes, and the new sign has gone up. It may have been since we talked, I don't think. I think it is at the downtown office facility, right?
Yes. Luckily, that went up, I think, before we started getting these storms, these ice storms. But yes, it is right. It is right between Rite Aid and where the A&R is.
Yes.
200 block, I think, of South Main.
I believe that's 200 block,
I don't know the exact number, but... people see the sign when they go by, which is important, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
That visual cue that we're, our presence is there.
Yes, that symbolism, absolutely.
We'll take a break, talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Be back right after these words.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Welcome back. We're talking about issues connected with Butler County Community College here today. If you're just joining us a little bit late, our guests are Dr. Nick Neupower. He's the president of BC3, and also Jess Matnock, who's the executive director of communications and marketing. We always like to talk about good news, and one of the shining stars recently is Vanessa Eberle. Jess?
She is. She is a full-time BC3 psychology major.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just awarded a $500 scholarship from Phi Theta Kappa's Middle States Region and its Alumni Association. It was a Finish What I Started essay that she submitted to receive this scholarship, and hers was the winning essay from 117 essays that they received from Pennsylvania Community College students. So she was the one selected. Vanessa, she is a 2001 graduate from Butler High School. So Vanessa and I graduated high school together.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I remember her. I'm not sure if she would remember me, but she is married. Her husband also is a full-time BC3 student. And they have six children, ranging from 14 to 3. And her doing this full time, and her husband, it's just really blows me away. I have two kids, and I can barely keep up with. So, you know, her accomplishments are definitely great, and I'm glad they were recognized.
That is wonderful. Great. That would be the perfect definition of a non-traditional student.
Yeah.
I think.
Huh? Boy.
Yes. Yeah.
God bless them. That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that scholarship money will come in handy. Hey, we want to talk about sports. We've talked in the past about the importance, I think, the importance of sports in creating pride in the school, esprit de corps among the students and everything. Basketball, right? We got news there.
Yes.
On both the men's and women's teams. So Joel Stutz, he is a sophomore guard on the Pioneer basketball team. He scored a career-high 50 points during the last game, and then that allowed him to top his 1,000th point in his career. And he joins only three others who have reached that milestone. And he is 298 points away from breaking the record, actually. And then Mackenzie Craig, who is on our women's team, she's a forward. She is 52 points shy of breaking the all-time women's scoring record, and but she's already reached her 1,000th point milestone as well. So two players that are
very proud, very proud of them, and agree. I think sports in Western Pennsylvania is incredibly important. You go back to when the immigrants came over from the old country, and it was a way of these individuals to prove themselves on a level playing field or a level basketball court or a baseball diamond or even boxing ring. And so Western sports in Western Pennsylvania, I think, are frankly more important and a part of the culture than a lot of other places. And specifically to BC3, we've been around since 65. We've had tremendous success on the sports side of things. We've had a baseball player who pitched in the World Series, a BC3 baseball player, John Stuper, who pitched in the World Series.
I forgot that he was a BC3 alum. Yeah. I forgot about that.
We have a community college president, retired president from Hudson Valley Community College, a Matt Nock, who was a standout baseball player here and went on to become president of Hudson Valley Community College and recently retired as a very successful president. And he was back for our Hall of Fame ceremony. And going back to 07, he was one of my one of the speakers during my inauguration. And Drew Matnock did a great job as a president at Hudson Valley. You have the Yale connection, not only is Stuper the baseball coach, but Tom Beckett, who had a connection with BC3, is, I believe, the athletic director at Yale. Not to mention a number of other folks from Hal Kenneman, who went to BC3 and then was a scholarship basketball player. You recall Scott Lang was the basketball coach that tragically died at a young age at La Roche. Mm-hmm. He was a BC3 basketball player who then transferred on to Clarion. So we have so many of these. We're proud of our athletics program, and we're especially proud of these two athletes.
Is it tough to, and I realize this is not in your bailiwick, but scheduling teams because the bulk of the community colleges in Pennsylvania are in the central and eastern part of the state. Here in this end, we've got obviously BC3, we've got Beaver County Community College, Westmoreland, and CCAC. And that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah. So very good question. You have the Western Pennsylvania Community College Conference, which is the WPCC. A few years back, the Penn State branches and the community colleges were all one. And there was a decision that was made by the Penn State branches. And by the way, I talked to Rob Snyder, very involved with our athletics. There was a time several years ago where the Penn State branches wanted to go on their own and create their own conference. And they ended up doing that. And the Penn State branches are doing very well athletically. Mm-hmm. So much so, in fact, that at Penn State Chenango, they just reintroduced its basketball program. Mm-hmm. And the Penn State branches now, because they offer four-year degrees, are utilizing the Penn State name to recruit out-of-state athletes. I heard this from one of the chancellors. And it's actually a thriving athletic conference. Now let's go to the Western Pennsylvania Community College Conference. is that that did end up hurting us. You have CCAC, which has multiple campuses, mm-hmm. so they could have mm-hmm. multiple teams. We still connect with the Pitt-Titusvilles. We play a number of JV teams. So it could be that we play the Westminster JV team, or the Point Park JV team would probably be a better example. Where that really comes into play, Dave, is that early in my presidency, I wanted us to look into a soccer program at the college. And Rob Snyder with our athletics department looked into it, and the biggest variable was we didn't have many teams to play. Yeah. We could have played the JV teams, but in order for us to be part of a community college conference, we had to travel out east. And by the way, the Eastern Community Colleges do have soccer as a program. So it's been a bit of a struggle, particularly as of late, to make sure that we have the appropriate schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of factors there. Travel costs among them. I mean, you have to financially responsible, too. It's not like you can charter planes and travel all over the country. So.
Weather is another factor.
No question.
Nick mentioned earlier we had to cancel both the games already for this weekend in anticipation of the storm. So.
And listeners might be interested to know, or maybe surprised, that there are football programs at various states that go to community colleges and even junior colleges. So that is very much vibrant in Arizona, Mississippi, some of the southern states, and California. And you take a guy like Cam Newton is one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton started at a community college and then obviously transferred to Auburn. Now, football, of course, not in Pennsylvania, but that would be an incredible expense with everything associated.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, there's another performance coming up in the Performing Arts Series at BC3 very shortly. February 3rd, which, believe it or not, is just around the corner.
Yep.
You have an acoustic singer-songwriter.
Yeah, a musician. His name is Matt Texter. He will perform, as you said, Sunday, February 3rd at 2 p.m., and he plays the harmonica as well as the acoustic guitar. And it's more of traditional American-style music, and tickets are available online. bc3.edu/suckup.
I always wondered how people could do that. Bob Dylan did it.
Yeah.
And James Taylor does it every once in a while. Yeah. He plays the harmonica and the guitar at the same time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Here's the game plan for February 3rd. You watch Matt at 2. You come home, you watch PCN, and then after that, you watch the halftime show for the Super Bowl, and then the second half. That sounds like a full day.
Sounds like a great plan. We have a couple more messages before we wrap up. Thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Good to see you both.
You too.
Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College. Jess Matnock is the executive director of communications and marketing. We'll tell you about tomorrow's program in just a moment.
It may be winter outside, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, it's time to think spring. Order your asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots and blue and red potatoes by January 31st. Make a plan for berries, grapes, and sub-zero roses, all arriving the first week of April. Stock up on planter trays, inserts, heat mats, germination stations, and peat pellets. Plus, pick up Espoma, organic seed starter, and potting mix, organic fertilizers, and earth boxes, and replant kits. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden at the corner of Monroe and Jefferson Streets in Butler.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 60-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 2.24 annual percentage rate. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join. So call today for other rates and terms, or visit us at armcocu.com to become a member. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and federally insured by NCUA.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Featuring Italian and American cuisine, daily lunch and dinner specials, prime rib on Fridays and Saturdays, and homemade desserts. Open 7 days a week from 7 to 9, Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon, patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Among our guests tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the I'm a Star program. We'll have more for you as well on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Mulrike. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Mulrike here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Mulrike's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Sway into the beat of your heart, and your lips were saying that we won't dance apart. Now someone else is holding you the way I did then.